Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, a Reiki energy teacher and medium and author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, and ways to heighten intuition for finding and developing your true self. Today, I welcome Alicia Jane Thompson, who is a licensed clinical therapist, personal trainer, and contemporary teacher, who encourages the deep meaning of fun, laughter, and childlike innocence, always important energies needed to feed the heart and feed the soul. Hello, Alicia, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Cheryl. What a beautiful introduction. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're very welcome. Alicia, as listeners of Healing From Within are so very well aware, my guests and I seek to go beyond the familiar or the physical that we know in life, and to touch the deeper insights of our energetic and eternal life force. In sharing our experiences and love of life, we hope to move beyond any fear, limitation, or challenge, ultimately finding or remembering the truth of our inner being, and to encourage health, prosperity, as empowered spiritual beings having a physical life experience. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Alicia will show listeners that discovering spirituality might be easy and fun and worthwhile, while it encourages creativity, peace, and will share how innocence and play create a field of possibilities for wonderment and a renewed love of life. Alicia, I always love to ask my guests to think back to childhood for a memory of a person or a place, event, or a value that was meaningful to them, or a goal that they had, and which is still reflected in the life experience they are having now as an adult. Because I think the imprint for who we are is there at the very beginning and only has to catch up with itself.
Oh, I can think of many things, Cheryl. I can think of many things.
So tell us, when you were little, something that happened that was meaningful to you.
When I was a little girl, I was a prototypical daddy's girl. And make no mistake, I still love my parents very dearly, but I loved my dad. My dad traveled often for a living internationally, and at times he would be gone for 2 weeks. So when he came home, it was really cherished time. And he played softball. And here in Chicago, when I say softball, what I mean is it's barehanded 16-inch softball. That's what softball is here in Chicago. And when I was a little girl, I loved nothing more than to accompany my dad to his softball games and watch him play, and I used to run around with his teammates' sons and daughters, and we would catch frogs, and we would frolic, and occasionally they would pitch to us, and we'd run around with endless curiosity, wonder, and energy, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful time as a young girl.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you were allowed to breathe and be free and explore and be equal and to know love.
That is well stated, Cheryl.
To know love and acceptance, and those are the attributes that we wish to give to our children, because otherwise they spend a lifetime trying to get past the wounds and hurts of those moments of their childhood. Where they were less valued or not respected. And then we talk about low self-esteem and confidence. So you were very fortunate. I could hear in that description that you appreciated your father and he found the time to appreciate you. And that's a great, great gift. What is your book about?
So my book is very much, as you stated from the outset, Cheryl, my book is about finding the pleasure, the wonderment, reclaiming the innocence that I sincerely believe is our birthright when we're brought here on this planet. It is about connecting with source, with energy, with God, if you will, And reclaiming that for ourselves, because what I see in society today is that we've forgotten. We've grown ignorant of the fact that we still have these faculties available to us. We still have these energy sources available to us, but we've been habituated out of them. We've become tired. We've become overburdened, overstimulated, too serious, very judgmental, angry even. All of these things that inhibit our ability to really connect with that wonderment, with that creativity, with that innocent nature, those pure and unfettered eyes that we once looked through looking at life. And so my book really is about how we get back to that space, not fully, because we're adults, right? So I'm not operating under any illusion, but
we have responsibilities, of course we do.
Absolutely.
But the point being that our society and the world with all its problems at the present time doesn't seem to value cooperation and a heart, a trusting heart full of love and compassion. It's now focused on competition and what can be taken away from others in order to enhance their own agendas. Yeah, how did this happen? Because as a girl, I grew up much like you, and we didn't have this terrible upheaval in the world and culture, and it's in all the cultures of the world right now. It's just running rampant. But I would think we need to take a moment to reflect on our childhood and how our parents or teachers tried to instill in us the right values, and how we're trying with our children now to do that, but we're missing the mark a bit because people have veered away from spirituality in order to be more material, more in the physical world, and they sort of have detached or separated from that, and that's what we're really talking about here, going back to the natural, intuitive, instinctive knowing who we are as both energy beings and physical beings. And when that's forgotten, everything goes off track. Now, in your chapters in the book, you discuss such words as curiosity, activity, creativity, spontaneity, resiliency, family, and generosity. Pick one of those words and describe what it suggests to you and possibly for readers of the book.
You know, I would go with simplicity. I think that's my favorite and is one of the first things that I present in the book, that kind of to what we were just describing, that we've become so complicated as a society. We, you know, we've got cell phone in hand while we're walking down the street and we're talking to people and we're trying to order a Starbucks, you know, whatever the case may be, we're pulled in every which direction. And we're just so distracted. We've got social media, we've got regular media, the political climate of today with the presidential elections. I'm not even going to go into that. But we have so many demands that are placed on us as individuals. And so simplicity is really all looking at how can I unplug from all of this?
Yeah, you describe simplicity, which is encourages a state of appreciation for what is right now. Now, we do have a choice, and I am part of this media explosion for the last 20 years and the cell phones and everything else that goes along with it, but I remember a time before that. Maybe some of the younger people don't, but I don't walk in the street with my cell phone, and I don't have dinner with friends and take that out. That's put away. We do have choices how to use it as a tool, and people are being showing poor manners actually when they are so tuned into themselves and their own immediate needs that they overlook the needs of other people and make them uncomfortable. So this has to be taught. Like when we were in school, we learned how to read and write. Now we seem to need to learn how to use our tools and modern technology in ways that benefit but don't take away from the quality of life. Would you agree? Yeah, that's what's going
on. I would absolutely
on.
Agree. I would agree. I think, you know, one of the things that I would point to, Cheryl, is this onslaught of social media. I mean, it seems as if there's a new app being developed every single day to pull our attention away from the world around us. And so we think that we're actually connecting with these tools, right, with the Facebooks and the Twitters. We think, quote, that we've become more connected to the world around us, that this is this beautiful medium by which we can communicate across the globe. And that's true, but it has limitations in that it does take away from the person who's standing right in front of you, or
yes,
who you might cross in the street and could smile at.
Yes.
It's making us, it's a fallacy that it is making us more connected. It is actually drawing us in, more into ourselves and making us more disconnected from the world around us. And that is really problematic.
Well said. Absolutely so. And people who have any degree of narcissism or any other slightly proclivity toward a certain condition, it's going to be exasperated by some of this technology. And people, that's why people can't put it down. It's sort of like lulling them to sleep. It is taking them from a conscious state to where they should be in a conscious state and aware of what's going on around them, to an unconscious or unawakened state. And as we're evolving, we're trying to go to a more awakened state of understanding energy in our lives and how to connect and interact with more compassion and love, and it's doing exactly the opposite. So we need to learn how to use it appropriately. And I think over time, I hope that some of the writers and educators and media people and teachers in school and parents will start to understand what they're seeing and see that it's not quite what it's cracked up to be. Now, let's go on to how would you define innocence, and why do you think some people never lose this sense or quality and some may never even have experienced it? So tell us something about innocence.
Yeah.
Because like simplicity, those are two important qualities we need to focus on.
Yeah, great questions. Thank you for those. So let me just trace back how this thing all got started. I was in the middle of a self-awareness program. This was back in 2012. And for some reason or other, I was gifted, I will say, this thought in my head. And it really, it kept me up at night. And it was, what is the difference between innocence and ignorance? Like, really, what is it that distinguishes one from the other? And so I wrestled with this, and I wrestled with this very consciously, and nothing was coming, and so I just put it on the shelf. And then one day, I was sitting in meditation, and it hit me. And what came to me in that moment was this statement, innocence is never knowing, and ignorance is having forgotten. And so what I mean by that is that innocence, in this state of never knowing, what it means is that when we're innocent, we don't know any different than to be connected with Source. We don't know any different than to be love. We don't know any different than to be peace. We don't know any different than to be compassionate, right? We don't know any different than to be pure. That is innocence to me. That and our most readily accessible example of that, I think, in the flesh comes through children. We see it with children, right? Go to a park and watch children run and play, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's undeniable. So that is what innocence is. Ignorance, on the other hand, is the burden of society. It's growing up in a society that tells us that certain things are good and certain things are bad and right and wrong, and okay, to some degree, that's very, very helpful. You shouldn't run in the street. Well, of course I shouldn't run in the street. That's dangerous. But it starts to tell us, well, this is socially acceptable and this isn't. You have to behave a certain way. You have to speak a certain way. You have to dress a certain way. You have to make a certain kind of living. You have to drive a certain type of car. It goes on and on and on. And before we know it, that innocence, right, that curiosity about the world, the energy, the zeal, the zest that we had for living has now been drowned out by this ignorant chatter of all these falsities, all these misnomers about who we should be in the world.
Yeah, all the labeling and all the ego and the illusion
of
society's imprint upon us. Because innocence, we came into the world, the essence of our being, was there, and we knew who we were. Even as infants, they know, they look at you with such eyes of love. They trust. They do connect to spirit. They some children, many, I would guess, are aware of a force around them. Call it angels or souls or God and or universal source. And they feel comfortable, and little by little, they're made to feel uncomfortable about their decisions and their choices, and they lose a part of their soul, and that's a very sad thing. Now, you wrote something in your book about yourself as a child, and you wrote, "These were the days of my childhood, and I'm not sure that I've ever been closer to God. I was afraid of the dark as a child, and I still am to some degree. I would cry out for my mother at night, secondary to hearing bees buzzing in my ears. I was often sick, for as much imagination as I had an equal amount of fear and confusion. It seemed that my body just didn't suit me. To compensate, I learned how to run, how to move, how to discharge my awkward sense of being trapped in my own skin." So I want to say, when I read that, it sounded just like my earlier days. And I know now what I didn't know then, that our spirit or soul was forced to be contained in a body or a vessel that didn't allow for the magnificence of our soul energy, which wishes to expand and soar and doesn't understand impossibilities. It only understands to be free. And we also were probably very empathic, so the people around us, we were picking up their emotions and fears. And in my book, I wrote this. I addressed innocence in this way. I addressed the innocent needs of many soulfully mature children by writing a way for parents, teachers, and caregivers to think about what is very important to develop emotionally mature adults. And I wrote, "We have been taught in our formal school days to read, calculate, and create through music, dance, art, writing, and verbalization. Yet most of us were not taught to understand the physical laws of energy and cause and effect. We were not shown how people's interactions with us affect our physical, emotional, and our spiritual well-being. I believe that a well-balanced, healthy lifestyle requires being supported by supportive people and situations that enhance our positive thinking and produce positive results in our endeavors." So this goes back to what we were talking about before, about technology and how to use the equipment as a tool and not take away from our humanness.
Yeah,
Right?
beautifully
So
stated.
it goes
Absolutely.
to the same thing.
That's right.
So let's go on. Now that many adults have lost a bit of this, what can we do to foster more innocence as adults?
Great question. So the words that you spit out earlier in the program when you talked about simplicity, activity, creativity, family, generosity, resiliency, these are all hallmarks, I think, of innocence. And so when we're talking about reconnecting with innocence, what can we do? Well, doing things around creativity, doing things to simplify, doing things and showing yourself and reminding yourself again that you're resilient, that you can get knocked down, but you're going to get back up. These are things that innocence has imprinted upon us. But more specifically, I would say, Cheryl, I would kind of go back to what you encouraged me to do at the beginning of our chat, which is, find a quiet place and just sit for a minute and close your eyes and take some nice deep breaths, connect with that heart space and think back to when you were young. Think back to something that brought you joy. Maybe it was something you wanted to be when you grew up. Maybe it was a memory of a family member or a grandparent. Maybe it was a time that you were playing at a park. Whatever the case may be, dial that up and feel that. Really allow yourself to connect with that and see what's underneath there. Ask the question, what is this about? What am I missing? And then and whatever you
Am I missing something now as an adult that I had then? Let's get back to that feeling and essence of being absolutely good. But of
Yeah.
course, I don't encourage people to go back into the past too much, because
Right.
only for a good event here and there, and for this reason, to remember how strong we are in our knowing and connection to source, and having that innocence and simplicity. For that, it is excellent. But we want to be in the present. We don't want to worry about the
Absolutely.
future or the. So that is great. Let's go on to what is your favorite story from the book? I have one here. Well, let's see if we have the same one.
I love it. Let's see if we sync up. Absolutely. So, my favorite story is my Easter story. So the story goes like this. I'm a young gal, I'm a young girl, and my parents took me to see the Easter Bunny at a mall. And the Easter Bunny was surrounded by this spring setup where there were these flowers and there was grass and there was this train, like the Pete, I don't know what it was called, the Peter Cottontail train or something, that ran around this space. And so I wanted to ride on the train, which was great. So I got on the train and I go for my spin around the block, so to speak. And when it's time to get off, the other kids get off. But I am not having any part of it because my innocence wants to play. I just want to play. And I've got all this wonderment around me. So instead of getting off to drinking, I opt instead to jump into this wonderland. And I'm picking up Easter eggs and I'm frolicking in the fake grass and I'm playing with the spring flowers. And I guess from what my parents described, there was just a whole crowd of people laughing, and my parents were mortified, so they had to go in after me and like grab me because I'm in there and I'm just creating all kinds of havoc. But I think that is such a prime example of what innocence does, is that I was so curious and I was so taken by the environment around me that I made this spontaneous decision just to engage. I didn't care what people thought.
And for our listeners out there, we don't really need to care so much about what others think, because if it comes
Amen.
from within us and our heart, and we're doing good and we're developing ourselves, then there is nothing else that we were born to do. So that thinking about what people think or others do or others want takes us away from ourselves. And
It's a
that's
trap.
excellent. Yeah. Now, the favorite story I had was The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which was a movie that I saw, and I loved your description of it. And I'm going to ask our listeners to, when they read the book, take a look at that story, which was
Yeah.
so delightful.
Thank
Now,
you.
what do you hope readers will glean or take away from God Flips Burgers, and why were you inspired to write this book?
Yeah. I'll answer those in reverse. I was inspired, just like I said, because I came up with that phrase, and it instantly made a difference in how I lived my life. I started living my life more freely and more innocently. I started to really challenge society's norms and expectations and really dove deep into who I was, connected with that innocent source, and I became a whole lot more joyful. I mean, it was just that simple. And I thought, well, my gosh, if this is having such an impact on me, I feel like it's almost my responsibility to share that with people who may be interested. So that's really why I wrote the book. And so to answer the first question, what do I hope people will get from it? I hope two things. One is that listeners will reconnect and find a sense of innocence within themselves to remember what that spark felt like, and to connect with that, and then B, bring that out into the world in joyful and playful ways, in whatever way that looks for you. Live that to your fullest, because I believe truly that that's what Source wants for us.
Yeah, and I always seem to have synchronicity or coincidences with my guests. And when I saw the title of your book, I just smiled, because nobody on the planet has eaten more hamburgers than me. I
Oh, well,
love
you might have a close
hamburgers
second.
since I'm a kid, and I still love it. And I have grandchildren now, and they know when grandmama's around, we're going to see a hamburger somewhere. So I kind of love the title of the book, and it brought back laughter to me from
Oh,
who I am
lovely.
and my memories. But I also wanted to read something that you wrote. I think this also was what inspired you to write the book.
Great.
You wrote, "In my eyes, I knew God and I knew the truth. and rooted in that truth, there was nothing that seemed impossible. But again, adulthood has a funny way about it. The spiritual quest frequently seems to be synonymous with a few S words: stoicism, seriousness, and sacrifice. You must pray to reach God. You must meditate and contemplate to reach God. You must sacrifice your possessions, attachments, and occasionally your body to reach God. My pseudo-amnistic condition had me believing this doctrine for years. So many hours was spent immersed in serious study and practice, foregoing frivolous pursuits in favor of a more godly life and ultimately enlightenment. But you found that wasn't so. You had it all along. It was there from the beginning. It was there, and you knew that in your search, you already were enlightened, and you discovered that, and readers of this book will discover that about themselves also. So
I hope so.
I kind of like that you had the dream and hope that people would rediscover what's really important. Again, what we talked about at the beginning, the values that we try to give our children. So why would we want them to lose it? If we have it at the beginning, we share it with them at the beginning, why do we let these life circumstances take that away? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that is the inspiration for your book and many of the authors who come here, who realize the complications and stresses of modern day life on the values that are and should be simple and uncomplicated. We should have trust, we should have faith, we should have loyalty, and we should be supported by a world that allows us to be who we are. So I want to thank you, Alyssa Jane Thompson, author of God Flips Burgers, for a light and fun-filled way to explore the deeper meaning of self and the universe in order to provide peace, love, and well-being back into our everyday life. For more information, go to godflipsburgers.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Alyssa Jane Thompson, also known as Janie Berger, has shared her truth, her search for truth, and the spirit of her inner soul essence through the remarkable journey from childhood innocence to realizing in adulthood that what was needed to be remembered was always within her. And that knowingness was faith, trust, love, and a connection to Universal Source, which is our forever guide, helping us experience on this physical plane the joy of nature, man, and God, and to find the home we never left, the dimension of the unseen world, which is with us wherever we go. And you wrote, "Thankfully, as previously stated, many of us were provided for, and as adults are now able to provide a good deal of these needs on our own. Most of us. Therefore, these basic needs do not constitute the bulk of our safety needs today. What we do need, more so as adults endeavoring to reconnect with innocence, is emotional and mental safety. We need to identify a family, a tribe of individuals, blood or otherwise, in which we can experience trust, non-judgment, unconditional positive regard, and the kind of unabashed support that leads us to connect with our highest self. This runs in stark contrast to our ego, who warns us that exposing ourselves in such an honest and open way will leave us vulnerable to attack. Look around you and take an honest inventory of who serves these purposes for you. With whom can you be authentic, vulnerable, and embody the greatness that you are? With whom are you safe? Are your needs provided for respectfully and lovingly? Remember, without connection, we are harming ourselves and our innocence." And when I read that, I remembered when I was teaching in an inner city school, and I had special needs children, older children, and they didn't have families that could support them. And I remembered saying to them, "You will find friends. You will make your own community. You will find those who, like you, want to be safe and comfortable and be themselves." And by the end of the year working with those children, I saw they had done just that, looking past the problems of their own home life. They had connected to people mentors in the school and to other students, and we're doing so much better. So thank you for that writing. I believe that is the way to find our way out of any complicated issue and to find ourselves comfortable living with others, like-minded people. So we would have you remember that our life is a journey of experiences to be gathered by the soul like flowers from the field. And these experiences, they're not really good nor bad. They just serve our personal and collective growth cycle or karma. Be open-minded and open-hearted and allow the joy to fill you regularly, not once in a while, but regularly, as it is your divine destiny to be happy and fulfilled. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to discover the many paths and approaches for your own self-development and the mastery of the human and spiritual condition. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.